How do I truly connect with my podcast audience so I can live in their ears, heads, and hearts? Hello, friend. Thanks for pressing play on this episode of the Brass Tacks of Podcasting Wisdom series. You can find more podcasting wisdom and resources at brassybroad.com and podcasting tutorials on my YouTube channel, Jen Eads Brassy. I'll have links in the show notes. Now let's get into it. I'm going to share three power tools of songwriting that you can use in your podcasting to help you connect with your audience like a boss. I'm not talking just any boss. I am talking about the boss, Bruce Springsteen. I've been amazed over the years at the way that guy can sing to a football stadium full of 60,000 screaming fans and still connect with them on a personal level. How does he do it? I'm going to use lyrics from his song, The River, from the 1980 album of the same name to show you how he beautifully weaves all three tools into a single song. Take note and think about how you can weave these into your podcast. Tool number one is intimacy. Create intimacy with your audience by writing as if you are speaking to one person, not a room full or a stadium full. In the first line of The River, Springsteen writes, "I come from down in the valley where, mister, when you're young, they bring you up to do like your daddy done. Me and Mary, we met in high school when she was just 17. We'd ride out of this valley down to where the fields were green." He's a master at using a conversational tone to create that feeling of intimacy. He says, "Me and Mary, we met in high school when she was 17. How many times have you had a conversation about where and when you met your better half? It's so relatable. It creates a feeling of familiarity and intimacy, like a couple of friends just talking over coffee. Use language that creates that feeling of an intimate conversation. The second tool is a paintbrush. Paint the scene for your listener so they can see themselves in it. Springsteen masterfully paints a picture in the second verse. He sings, "Then I got Mary pregnant, and man, that was all she wrote. And for my 19th birthday, I got a union card and a wedding coat. We went down to the courthouse, and the judge put it all to rest. No wedding day smiles, no walk down the aisle, no flowers, no wedding dress." What picture does that paint in your mind? I see a drab, sparsely furnished, small-town courthouse with fluorescent lights and brown wood paneling, filled with unhappy people that do not want to be there. That visual also creates a feeling. I have a sinking feeling in my stomach that these kids are scared to death and they are in for a rocky ride. What feeling does it create for you? And finally, don't be afraid to be vulnerable. Our faults and fears are what make us relatable to other humans. The final verse is where we really get a peek into what he's feeling. He's reflecting back on memories and questioning his entire life. He tells us that he's haunted by memories from when he and Mary were younger. He writes, "At night on them banks, I'd lie awake and pull her close just to feel each breath she'd take. Now those memories come back to haunt me. They haunt me like a curse. Is a dream a lie if it don't come true? Or is it something worse?" That last line just kills me. Is a dream a lie if it don't come true? Or is it something worse? He's showing us his soul right there, questioning his entire life because he has unfulfilled dreams. Have you made any past decisions that still haunt you? Are you judging him, or do you feel compassion because you're thinking to yourself, "Man, I can relate to that"? What are you really sharing with your audience? The little audio nerd in me also has to mention something here about my most favorite Springsteen album of all time, Nebraska. I love the sparseness and simplicity of it. When I was in about the fifth grade and first learning how to play guitar, I would go to the local library and check out the Nebraska album. I don't know how many times I listened to it and read all the words on the record sleeve. I loved that it was just this guy and his guitar, and it made it feel attainable to me, like that was something I could do. I mention this because I think we often get wrapped up in the technology and the gear of podcasting. Nebraska was recorded on a four-track cassette recorder in 1982 in Bruce's bedroom. It was just supposed to be a demo tape, but Bruce and the record company decided to release the stripped-down demo version rather than the recording done with the E Street Band. You don't need all the fancy bells and whistles of gear in a fancy studio when your material is strong. Sometimes those things are actually a distraction. Let your audience find the beauty and connection in the cracks and imperfections. That's how you earn the privilege of living in their ears, heads, and hearts. If you found even the smallest little nugget of wisdom in this episode, please share it with a friend that needs to hear it. Don't be stingy. Instagram is my jam. You can connect with me there to get the behind the scenes where my podcasting and musical worlds collide. And there might be some pictures of the dog and cat that run this studio. And for my podcasting tutorials, subscribe to my YouTube channel. You can find me on YouTube at Jen Eads Brassy. Thanks for listening. Now get out in the world and do some good.